With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to the Manchester City Football Social. We're talking Manchester City for an hour. We've got absolutely loads to talk about. The title race, of course, we've got Crystal Palace game. We're going to look forward to about 1,000,000,010 Spurs games. Then, obviously, we're looking forward to the Champions League game. I'm here with Walter Smith. You all right, Walter?
Very well indeed, pal. Very well indeed. That's looking forward to it all.
And Walter's got some great rants coming up later about ticket prices. And I'm here as well with Natalie Pike.
Hello, hello.
Don't forget, guys, you can subscribe to this Manchester City Football Social. Just search in your podcast providers. And also, if you're a Red, and I don't know why I'm saying this, subscribe to that one as well, the Manchester United Football Social, and is also the Manchester Football Social in general. All right, anyway, we'll see you in a bit.
Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising.
Good evening. It is Tuesday night. That means it is an hour devoted to talking about the one and only Manchester City. It is the Manchester Football Social with Blue Moon Rising. I'm Natalie Pike and I'm here tonight in the midst of a lot of City games to talk even more about City. What more could I want? I'm joined in the studio though, and there we go. That could be more of what I want. Joined in the studio by these two familiar faces and voices. First of all, joining me is esteemed company himself. It is Stephen McInerney.
You got there in the end. That's
yes,
what matters.
Yeah,
today we want to talk about Spurs because it's all the Spurs forever. Spurs, essentially. We've got them tomorrow night, of course, in a massive Champions League game and at the weekend. So we want to know from you guys on the text as well, 87711. You can ring in as well, 0345 111 7625. Let us know how you think City are going to line up in these games and how we're going to deal with this massive doubleheader.
Thank you. And we're also joined in the studio by its half glass full. It is Walter Smith from Blue Moon Rising. Good evening, Walter.
Good evening. How are you?
Wonderful. You know, optimistic.
Well, I'm going to try and talk tonight. I've got right bee in my bonnet, as it were. A bee in my bonnet about ticket pricing at Manchester City and what Manchester City could do for the local community.
Oh, when he has got a bee in his bonnet, you know he's had a right rant outside while we were getting ready for the show. As always, we want you to get involved. The phone number is 0345 111 7625. You can ring in and talk about anything that you want to do with City. You can also text, as Stephen said, 87711, and you can tweet us at MCR Footy Social. So please do get involved. At the end of the show today, we will be doing our famous section of questions, 30-second answers. Now, you can ask us any question about City you want and we have to answer it within 30 seconds. But we are going to start the show tonight looking back at the game that happened at the weekend and, of course, looking forward to the remaining title race. So, first of all, guys, talking about Palace, what did you make? I thought it was a pretty professional performance. Were you both happy with it?
It was everything I wanted from that game, really, to be honest. I was nervous. I think most City fans were after the Spurs game midweek. And we got the reaction. I say reaction, but maybe it was the plan all along. But we got what we wanted from that game. And I was so happy just to see the professionalism from the players, the maturity, and just them backing up the words, really. Because they all made a big deal after the Spurs game about how we'd move forward and we'd be very positive. And Kompany himself as well said that you'd see the familiar City from now on in terms of we control games, we'd go for it. And at a ground where we'd got all this kind of anxiety, again, you know, for obvious reasons based on recent form there, we just turned up and we were just so composed, so clinical, so professional. And apart from the free kick, we were just by large the better team by a long, long way, and it was just nice to be anxiety free essentially.
Did you get nerves when they scored from that free kick? All of a sudden I thought, oh my god, we mocked Liverpool 5 years ago for getting beat here and now they've scored, and I panicked for 10 minutes.
Oh, I did panic. It was everything was smooth sailing, you know. It was like a, almost like a serene ocean, and you've got your boat out, you know, you've got your drink and your cigar, and you're floating along this in a nice kind of mood. Next thing you know, as soon as that free kick came, we all knew what was going to happen as well. That was the worst of it. For some reason, you knew that this was going in. And then for 10 minutes, I was sat there on my couch cuddling a pillow. That's all I could think. Just thinking, no. Because I always remember when Liverpool drew there, and there were three goals down. I was driving home on a long drive, and I remember just pulling up on the motorway. I was trying my best to get home because I wanted to see Jamie Carragher crying.
There was no tears, thankfully, in this one. And the thing for me as well about the game was just more the kind of little stories that came from the game in terms of the form of Kevin De Bruyne. You know, Sterling reacting to his earlier miss, Asani playing really well, Kyle Walker pocketing one of the most dangerous attackers in the Premier League, and so with Zaha. It was just basically
company as well.
Yeah, company being fantastic as he always is. He's just so reliable. He really is a kind of warm blanket of a player. When you're there, you just feel more. You do, don't you? You just feel like more comfortable with him there on the pitch. And like,
I always see. I see company as the tide. He just rises all the boats.
Lots of ocean metaphors tonight.
Oh, there is, for this some is reason. Nice.
It's but, calm.
You know, but the boats are all right. You know, Walker plays better. Laporte plays better. Mendy plays better. You know, you look around and you see company behind you, and you just feel better as a human being, I think.
How big a role do you think Vinny can play between now and the end of the season?
He's like a special kind of special player now, in terms of he comes in for big games, doesn't he, really? And I'd like to see him used in that way going forward, because he does bring an authority to the team that maybe sometimes we lack, because we've got some leaders in the team, but he still is the main man. He still obviously is fantastic. Pep said quite a bit how he has this ability to come in and still be at a very high level, even if he doesn't play for a while. And we saw that at the weekend once again. And company, you just want him involved in the derby. You want him involved in any big kind of decisive games, because no one genuinely has this ability just to, as Walter said, calm the team down. And more than that, he's a battler. Do you remember against Liverpool early in January, when obviously that was a huge game and people were groaning with company starting that, because they felt, you know, maybe he hasn't quite got the legs anymore. Just a colossus, and we're a better team with him in the team. Still, I still maintain that we have to use him. I'm sure we will do, you know, within reason.
Yes, like you say, especially with the derby. There's something about Vincent Kompany in a derby, isn't there? One of my greatest ever City memories, I think, is him scoring that header in the derby at home the year when we...
The passion.
Passion. And you can see it now, the picture of him celebrating afterwards. He really does bring something special to the team. But yeah, like you say, I just wonder how many games he can play between now and the end of the season. And like you say, saving him for big games. What are we classing as a big game these days?
Every game seems big.
Yeah.
We've reached a point now where there's no real let-up performances. But even then, you know, there's touch points, isn't there? It's the next couple of league games, Spurs and United. Burnley after that away, which isn't easy. But you feel like if you get past Spurs and United, all of a sudden the run looks a lot more friendly, you know, and we feel like we could kind of maintain and manage that. It's just these next two games are going to be absolutely crucial in the league race, because Liverpool are going to win all the games. They are. I agree with Pep on that. Their run is easy. They'll win them all. It's crazy to think that we're going to have to get like 98 points to win the league, and Liverpool could get 97 and still not win it. That'd be lovely, but it's absolutely crazy, because the standards of football that we brought to the Premier League, we are raising the bar, and that's what people don't tend to consider. Pep has literally dragged the rest of the teams up around him with his own brilliance.
Walter, do you think Liverpool are going to win all the games? Do you know who they've got? Shall I tell you the fixtures? So Liverpool are playing, they've got left Cardiff away on the 21st, Huddersfield at home on the 26th, which is a Friday night. I hate Friday night football. And then on the 5th of May, they've got Newcastle away.
Rafa,
yeah, exactly. And then on the 12th, the last game of the season, they've got Wolves at home.
There's going to be points dropped where you don't expect them. I mean, I'm not saying they're not going to beat Huddersfield, but you're looking at, you know, going away to Newcastle. We didn't do great there. You know, playing Wolves this season, we didn't do great. And Wolves are a side that are built as well. The manager's got them playing fantastic tactical football. So they could be caught on the break quite easily. So there's no kind of real gimmies. And, you know, Cardiff could just, at Cardiff, you just never know. The pressure might get to Liverpool. The pressure might get to us. But what I would like to say is, in some respects, no team deserves out of these two to lose the Premier League.
Yeah, I agree with that.
With five games to go, they've got one and two sewn up, which I can't remember
that actually happening before.
Especially with this points total as well.
Oh, this points total is mental.
Do you know what I saw the other day, which really made me happy? Because if it happens, it's just beautiful. If Liverpool don't win the league, even if they win the last four games, basically, they would have lost out on the title, 100 points, and an invincible season because of that one defeat to Manchester City. And I love that. That's how beautiful it could be. Only losing one all season, missing out on the invincibles, and missing out on 100 points because of that 2-1 victory, if it happens. How nice would that be?
Yeah, I absolutely love that. I don't think there's going to be any sort of massive collapse by either club. No. I can't see either club losing between now and the end of the season. Now, we have... God, and that's a big statement because we've got a couple of games.
Yeah.
We've got Tottenham, obviously, again on Saturday. And then on the 24th, we've got United, which is the game in hand, away. Then on the 28th, we've got Burnley. The 4th, we've got Leicester at home. That Burnley game's away. And then we finish the season at Brighton away. I can see, though, some points being dropped. And I'm looking at that Newcastle game for Liverpool and Rafa. And I'm also looking at Wolves at home.
It's the last game. That's the only thing, though. If they weren't on the beach, you know, like I'd be like a lot more.
But are you on the beach if you know that you can stop Liverpool winning the league? And I don't know if it's like because I'm a bit biased, and I am biased, obviously. Yeah, that's why I'm on this show.
So.
But I kind of get the feeling that nobody wants Liverpool to win except Liverpool.
I don't think Wolves players care, do they? Really? Maybe.
Do you not?
I think in general,
Wolves fans
care. One thing I will say is that the Wolves away fans will be there, and they'll be basically wrapping up a very successful season for them, you know, in general. They're such a happy fan base at the moment. And the players will want to give one send-off to the fans because they'll do a lap of honour at the end. They'll go over to the fans and all that kind of stuff. Not a lap of honour, that'd be a bit weird. But they'll go over to them.
Their
section.
They'll celebrate,
And they'll go over to them at the end. And if there's one team, I guess, outside the big teams you want them to play against, it's probably Wolves because Wolves are famously giant killers this season. So it is possible. It's just scary. I hate it. I genuinely hate it.
I love it. I love all this pressure.
Oh, I've aged about 5 years.
Can you imagine how much you would have given, you know, 15 years ago to be in a title race like this? Can you imagine how much you would have given even 10 years ago to be in a title race
last season, I'm not going to lie.
I'm not saying it wasn't easy, but with the hardship comes the ultimate kind of joy. And the best way to describe that is 93-20.
Yeah.
You know, and that explosion of joy at the time, I can see your face is just smiling. Even just
it gives
mentioning,
you goosebumps as soon as you say it.
It absolutely does. But the point is, we'd lost. We were out. We were gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, people were leaving, going up onto the concourse. You know, we thought that was it. I was praying for one goal, hoping Sunderland could get one goal and, you know, both teams would draw. I never in my wildest dreams imagined that there was going to be two goals going in. But Aguero stepped up and... That to me was so joyous because of all the kind of pressure, and it's that release at the end. And this is what's going to happen this time, hopefully. It is this idea of if there was no competition, would people get bored? Or, you know, general football fans looking at it, would they get bored? Not saying City fans would, but these two teams going at it, and they're so good, both teams, makes for me a fantastic Premier League. Scudamore's got exactly what he wanted.
Did you hear that Gary Neville has said that he thinks that United should rest some players during the derby because of the games that they have around it as well? They play Chelsea the week after.
I think Gary Neville's spot on, really.
Out of retirement.
I was on the show last night with Jay from Full Time Devils, and he was basically, he's so torn and so pained about this whole, like, beating City in the game or then letting Liverpool kind of win it kind of thing. He couldn't choose. He genuinely couldn't choose. He's like, I obviously want United to win a game, but I don't at the same time. At least we're not them, put it that way. Levels, as kids would say these days. You know, we're on another level to them, and it's really, really nice.
Isn't it mad how, the roles are reversed? And the idea, can you imagine Fergie settling for fourth place? He'd be pulling his hair out. And that's where we're at now. And they're like an also-ran club battling for that fourth place at the moment. So it's just amazing how the two teams at the moment are so far above anybody and everybody else in the league.
What do you think then is going to take us over the line past them? Is it the experience in the squad?
I think there's one person who can make a massive difference. Kevin De Bruyne. He just looked so fired up against Crystal Palace. He was genuinely seething with rage at moments because people weren't at the level that he desired as an individual. It's just so intense. Like him shouting at Aguero and things like that. I love that. And that's vintage De Bruyne. People forget there's that side to him, you know, that really tough, crazy winner. Son of a gun side. He's a massive winner. I read this this great interview on the Players Tribune website where essentially,
did you watch the video?
I've not watched the video, but I read the whole piece. I'm not sure if it's the same or not, but essentially, if you haven't read it, the nutshell of it is basically he talked about how much football means to him, and he said the only time he's cried in the last 7 years is when he got his injury, and he's been married and had kids since then. Like, his wife was like, you don't even cry during that, but you cried when you're injured. It's because basically football is his release, and that's how much it means to him. And now he's back, obviously playing. I honestly feel like he's trying to make up for lost time a little bit, and he'll be really, really, really fired up to try and push us over. To have a world-class player with that much determination and drive, he could be the kind of person that stops any unintentional complacency kicking in. You know, he could be there just to really push him a little bit further, just to give him those fresh legs and give him that bit of energy. I honestly think he could be the difference, because he's that good, and he has a bit of magic in his boots, and he really wants to prove his value to the team this season.
I did love that ball through to Aguero. And to be fair to De Bruyne, Aguero should have read it.
I agree, yeah.
You know, if you're looking up and you see Kevin De Bruyne with the ball and you think, where do I want the ball? What player? He's the best ginger footballer in the world. So, you know...
much competition, I don't think it's there.
Oh, there's loads. And I'm just... Why wouldn't you make that run? I couldn't believe it at the time. But again, it's that winning mentality. I mean, I looked up, you know, winner in the dictionary, and there's a big picture of Kevin De Bruyne with two thumbs up.
Hopefully it'll still be there in about 4 weeks' time.
Oh, God, yeah. That's going to come back to bite me.
And of course, his ball through to Raheem Sterling, again, was just pinpoint. And his run and that finish, which was obviously the most difficult of the finishes, you know, considering the one that you missed.
Do you remember last year against Burnley? And it was covered in the All or Nothing documentary as well, where it showed Pep talking to Arteta about Sterling's miss. And obviously, after that really big miss against Burnley, Sterling was kind of unceremoniously hauled off after about 20 minutes, you know, later, because he put Brahim on as well, a kid at the time, you know, trying to get something out of it. But in general, Pep wasn't happy with that. And he told Arteta in the documentary that he thought it wasn't good enough, and he told him it wasn't good enough. Now, if this is the same Sterling of 12 months ago, after that massive miss, his head drops, but he just doesn't. To finish a chance, the kind of a chance that only Aguero finishes from that kind of angle, it just shows you how much he's matured as a person, as a player, and it shows his influence on the team now. Like, he's just fantastic these days. We all know that. And weirdly, I didn't think he was anywhere near his scintillating best, you know, in terms of he wasn't beating people for fun. But it's just the quality of his finishes, his position and his intelligence. He shows just how important he is to this team now. Even if he's not at his most exciting, he just gets goals. And that ability to score goals, like, sometimes, you know, I'm not going to say he's anywhere near that level, but, you know, like Ronaldo sometimes doesn't do anything for Juve or Real, and then he scores when it matters. And to have that killer instinct sometimes can be more important than the overall contribution, because you're there when it matters. And he's developing that as he gets older. The goals he scores is phenomenal.
I think he's uber intelligent on the super football pitch. You know, it's that movement that he does. Now, whether it's movement to pull a player out position for a teammate, or whether it's a movement to make a little bit of space for himself. And I got to agree with you, it was just an Aguero classic goal, wasn't it?
Over the keeper from a tangle.
Yeah, just boom, as it were. But again, what I loved is you've got Sterling there, and you look at the player and the person that he was, and what he's had to go through, you know, just everybody's well aware what Sterling's had to go through. And to come out of that and still be successful and almost turn himself into a spokesperson.
Yeah.
And definitely.
But I mean, that just shows you, you know, if he carries on this, it could become a Vinny Company almost.
Yeah, definitely. The way he's grown on the pitch and the way he's grown off the pitch and what he's definitely doing.
Just imagine how different it would be late 20s, because I can only speak for myself, and I'm sure you guys feel the same. When you're like early 20s compared to late 20s, if you remember what I'm joking. Sorry. In general,
I was an idiot.
You changed so much in those 5 years, you know, and I think like Sterling will be a totally different person by the time he's 28, 29. He'll be even better as a player, but as a person, he'll be a leader. He genuinely will be. Hopefully he's at City still, because at that point, if you're scoring the same amount of goals as well, he'd be one of the most productive players to ever grace the English game at that point, which is a crazy thing to think about, but it could happen.
Definitely. Hopefully Raheem Sterling will be with us for a long, long time. So later this week, well, tomorrow night actually, City are going to be playing Tottenham in the Champions League, and then again on Saturday, City are going to be playing Tottenham in the Premier League. We're going to be dissecting both those games coming up, and Walter is going to be going on a rant.
Manchester City Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising.
Hello guys, welcome back to the Manchester Football Social with Blue Moon Rising. We're here until 7 o'clock talking about all things Manchester City and specifically about Spurs because we play them about 10 billion times now. Well, it's just twice, but we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about Pep's cry for support and plead for basically the fans to get down tomorrow. So stay tuned to listen about that because we want to hear from you as well. You can get involved on 0345 111 7625. That's 0345 111 7625 if you want to ring in and text in as well on 877. My name is Stephen McInerney. I'm here with Natalie Pike. You're right, Natalie?
Hello.
And Walter Smith, as ever. Guys, it's Spurs. It's the Spurs week, essentially. How are we feeling about this huge game? Are we feeling confident about this game?
You go first, Walter. I'm undecided. I'm undecided.
Yeah, I'm feeling confident. I watched the game down there, and we almost played like a cup side against them. You know, we weren't there sort of going... It was like City in first gear, you know, or with the handbrake on. And it's not how City play. And I think Pep Guardiola sort of set himself up now, especially with his comments after the game, about what he's got to do over the next few games. And City, at their best, take any team in the, certainly in the British Isles apart, you know. And that's what we need to be looking at now. We need to be going at Tottenham on the foot front and just destroying them, you know, and we've got the players to do that. We've got, you know, if you pick that strongest, people talked about the tactical, but I thought it was the personnel that he chose that was wrong. So if you get these, you know, Sane, Sterling, get Silva in the middle, the Bernardo, that is, you know, you get KDB with that fire in his belly at the moment.
Do you think he was right to, because he basically came out and said he's doing this on purpose, you know, in terms of to prioritise certain games. And according to some reporters, he said that Pep basically implied that Crystal Palace was a bigger game, you know, because it wasn't a game that was going to decide anything that first leg and he wanted to keep it tight. I mean, that was fair decision? Or
I think the only way you're going to find out if it's fair or not is, you know, the winner takes all the spoils, don't they? And if this comes in his favour, people are going to be talking about Pep and this genius stroke of his just in the lead up to the, you know, what was arguably the biggest game.
Can losing 1-0 ever be deemed genius? You know, I'm not trying to, like, because I think no-nil's better than, you know,
as long as if we win tomorrow and we go on to win the league, then it's genius, you know, because you've won against Crystal Palace, you know, which was such an important game given that, you know, Liverpool were going to play Chelsea straight after it and we were trying to put the pressure on them. If we win tomorrow night, it's genius. If we don't win tomorrow night because we've given Spurs that little nudge in front of us, then it's not.
But, that, I mean, if genius decides on tomorrow's result, does the first game have any effect on it? If that makes sense, you know, like, if the genius is on that much of a mark, I'm being pedantic here, but, like, to me, I guess I'm still very much a little bit me for that game. I was a bit annoyed because I still felt like we could have played a different way and controlled the game a little bit more and just not gone with a disadvantage. So I'm getting my own personal prejudice on that one. But
are you worried then about tomorrow?
Massively. At the same time, I still think we are an exponentially better team than, and if we have anywhere near the intensity of the game plan that we did against Liverpool, for example, in the league, if we play with that level of intensity and hopefully like the running man Bernardo's back in the team, and I want him central if so, because yeah. I think how we played against Liverpool would be so important. If we play that level, I don't think Spurs can live with us. But we—it's just, I wish we weren't a goal down, you know. It's,
if they get one, yeah. That's what,
exactly, and that's not unlikely. That's the
away
what
goal
me.
Maths kicking in.
But I'd still back City to get three goals. I know I'm seen as the eternal optimist, but
it's not ideal, is it?
No, but if we need them, I think we can get them. And you know, I went back going back to what I was saying before. If we get the squad or the team selection right from that fantastic squad, we can take them apart. I mean, they're down Harry Kane for a start, which is always a biggie for them.
Yeah.
And I know Dele Alli's broke his hand, hasn't he?
He's touch and go, apparently, isn't he?
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so, not sure, so.
He's, but they haven't got the squad depth that we've got. You know, we had Kevin De Bruyne out for most of the season. We can fill in with all these other players.
I feel like with the injuries, they might just sit back quite a bit. Yeah, I think that actually might, it might almost like decide their game plan for them and make it less complicated. They might think, well, we haven't got the players to go at him, so we'll just defend for our lives, which is usually a bit suicidal against City, admittedly. Oh,
it's always suicidal against City, because the reason being, they're not used to that game. They're not used to that setup. So City went into the first game sort of, Pep always overthinks things, you sometimes think, with when it comes up to these big games, he always throws a curveball in there, whether it was Laporte at left back or whether it was Gundogan against, you know, and Fernandinho at Anfield. He just throws in these curveballs, I think, to try and outsmart the opposition manager, when in reality, we are the best team. And if we play like we can, we'll take anybody apart.
That's how I felt about the first leg. That's the thing. Like, it never happened, yeah. Unfortunately. I do agree that it felt that we played a cup team, really. But I guess, I do admit, though, like, there is a case of showing your hand too early. Like, and we got Spurs three times, you know. It's the whole thing. Like, they probably played near their best given their current form against us. And we've not even shown anywhere near, you know, our top gear. So there's an element of that. At least we've got a few levels to go up, I guess.
Yeah. It's funny, the three of us in the studio, and we all feel completely different about this. So not confident, and I'm right in the middle. Like, I'm swaying. I'm listening to you both, and I'm going, oh, yeah, Kevin De Bruyne is really coming into form. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, but I thought about that on the first game.
I actually think we'll win tomorrow on the day, but I'm just hoping it's enough, because 2-1's not enough, you know, that kind of thing.
So when did the away goals kick in? 90 minutes or extra time?
I should have known that. It's normal.
Yeah, like, I feel like I should know that, and I'm really questioning myself. We'll find out.
I've got Radiohead now, and I'm blocked. Like, but I think generally,
baby brain, I was telling you.
Yeah, there we go. I feel like it's after 90 minutes usually, but I'm sure someone's going to correct us. No, it's frantically googling, I think, aren't you?
Yeah.
In general, though, I am confident. I think we're a better team, and I think we'll play a very strong team tomorrow. I think we'll go really strong with it. I think we'll play what is on paper at the moment one of our strongest teams.
Well, I always think City at the moment are on, like, you know, the high, the guys that walk along the wire, you know, right on the...
Trapeze artists. And, how can I know that, what you're referencing, not the Champions League goal thing?
Exactly. And we're there, and we haven't got any room for manoeuvre now. With Liverpool breathing down our necks, with this away goal, or the home goal that Tottenham scored, and if they score one more, we do need three. It's a very fine line we've got to try and balance on, and you just see one gust of wind and Pep's genius is down the toilet, if you know what I mean.
What has to be different in this game compared to the first performance? And like, do we have to set up totally differently? Will Pep, you know, do one of his crazy Pep things and go free the back or something like that? Is a certain play that you think should be starting over someone else? Like Sane, should he play again?
I'm interested in the left back spot because Zinchenko, I don't know if he's fully fit. You've got Mendy there, and you don't know if he can play two games in 4 days. And there's one thing, you know. God bless Delph, but I don't really... I'd rather the other two, because that's not his natural position. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's a tricky one, the left-back spot, and I'm just hoping either Laporte maybe goes in there and we play three at the back, and that might be his odd curveball, Pep.
So away goals count after 90 minutes. My frantic Google search tells me.
That's why I was nervous in the first place.
If it's 2-1, then...
which I've never got that before.
They go through.
Yeah, but that's very scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why I'm nervous.
See, now I'm... Right, Walter, quick. I'm back on his side again now, and I'm feeling worried about it. Perk me up.
Well, if you were there, if you were a Tottenham fan, and you were thinking about coming to the Etihad, and then you looked at that lineup, and you've not got Kane, Ali's a doubt, and, you know, if he can play, can you be 100% player with a broken hand?
So you're talking about these two players here that are instrumental in what Tottenham do. They've not got a they haven't got a great squad at all. What they've got is a great football team, a footballing 11. And every time I've seen Trippier come up against Sane, toast. So, you know, you've got Sane there, De Bruyne with that fire in his belly, and he's just going to be have his head up, and he's just going to be picking out these passes. He's had a word with Aguero and said, look, if you're on the ball, where to go. He's had a word with Sterling saying, look, as soon as I get the ball, you fire up that pitch. You know, you've seen the ball through for Crystal Palace. Tottenham aren't going to be knowing what's coming at them. And then you've got Bernardo, who will just be like a bumblebee, a Manchester bumblebee. You know, and he's going to be buzzing here, there and everywhere. There's just going to be, there's not a blade of grass on that pitch he's not going to touch. David Silva, if he comes on and he sees Sane, they link up so well. You know, Vincent or whoever plays at the back, we might play too decent. You know, Laporte is always dependable. Walker is in the form of his City career at the moment. Mendy, if he starts, Ederson is Ederson. And then you've got the other choice, let's say John Stones.
We've won 6-0, there we go.
He's got me, he's got me. I'm totally optimistic.
I'm bowing at the altar of Walter Smith there. Yes. We totally won the game. Step aside, Pep Guardiola.
Are you switching?
I'm switching.
To our side?
To be honest, I still think we were going to win the game in the 90 minutes. I'm just... I'm hoping it's absolutely rocking tomorrow. Like, and how important could this atmosphere to be? Because I'm so bored of atmosphere talk in general.
I know, but Pep's, I feel like tomorrow, brought it up, hasn't he, again?
I actually weirdly don't. Pep's brought it up, and he basically said he wants the fans to, you know, show how important it is for us to get to the semi-finals. He's mentioned it in the press conference, if you didn't see it today. He's talked once again about... He always talks like this around the Champions League games because I think he understands that the City fans have this very weird relationship, very apathetic relationship with the Champions League in general. I'm not going to get into who's right or wrong with this, but in general, it's there, whether we like it or not. I think this whole atmosphere thing tomorrow will solve itself. I think it's a big game. And I remember last year, actually, after the first leg of the quarterfinal against Liverpool, it was rocking at the Etihad, you know, the second leg, and it was so good, even up in the third tier, people were singing. And that says it all. It was really good and really loud. And obviously, the win kind of was knocked out of ourselves a little bit when, I think it was Salah scored, was it for me? Salah, I think, wasn't it? But tomorrow, it could be really important. Could it actually make a difference?
Yeah, you know, the atmosphere, you know, you look at the big nights at City, you had Hamburg, you had the Liverpool game there. So when we've got to turn up, we do turn up and we do get behind the boys. But I'd say one of the differences is I go to sit in my season ticket or my season seat and I know everybody around me. But when it's a Champions League night, I get there and I sit in my seat and I'm waving to, like, Roger or Alan, seven or eight seats down, because the whole sort of
Roger and Alan, by the way, I love that. The two most mank names you could think of.
Liam and Noel, there you go. And it's, you know, you're there, so it's a very different crowd, and I think that people are coming to the Champions League game to watch not just Manchester City, but just to what the fans of football in some respects. And they're there to watch the what I believe is the highest quality football on the planet, which is the Champions League. And if you've got a chance to go to a Champions League game, you know, you're going to go.
It's contentious, but do we finally... Once again, I'm not trying to dictate...
You know what,
do we finally need to start... No, I'm joking. In general, do you like... Do we need to stop this whole booing of the UEFA anthem thing? Like,
no. As I said, if we lift the trophy, we should all boo and then just like boo, boo, and just lead it in.
You know, I'm petty and childish and I want us to keep booing. What I want us to do, though, is to boo, boo really loudly for 1 minute and then cheer even louder for 90 minutes.
People think it's all about financial fair play and it's nothing to do with that. That's one of the things that annoys me when you get into debates with idiots on Twitter and they always think it's about like...
It's
been going on well before that was a thing. It's all about the whole thing with the away fans in Ukraine and all that kind of stuff and the fines
for
being 30 seconds late on the pitch and less than racism. It's been long before financial fair play was a thing in general, and people forget that. And in general, I think we've always felt, whether this is justified or not, we've always felt like we were unwanted at the Champions League.
Definitely.
And we're quite a dour, cynical bunch, Banks, and I love us for
never.
That. I love us for that, but we definitely hold on to things. Is it like, is it, is it actually affecting us? Because it affects Pep Guardiola. I think that's fair to say. Pep doesn't like it. I mean,
it's
obviously
a good question.
Pep.
I don't know if we can answer it. We'd have to ask the players. Like, we'd have to ask them. Does
Who's
the
got
booing,
any of the players' number?
Does the, does the booing of the Champions League affect you? But I definitely think the atmosphere will affect them. And I think Pep is trying to rally call us, because if we, you know, we're all fans, and if we, you know, are honest, sometimes the atmosphere at the Etihad is not great. But when it is good, it is absolutely incredible.
Liverpool was amazing.
Yes,
wasn't it?
And do you remember that? We were talking about the Hamburg game
UEFA. 2008, wasn't it?
Was it the quarterfinals?
It was semi. It was Europa League.
And the atmosphere was... when the atmosphere is good, it is absolutely incredible. And Pep's rally call for tomorrow is exactly that. We have to make the atmosphere
the
amazing
noise.
Tomorrow. There is a flag in everybody's seat. I can exclusively tell you that City Square will be closing early tomorrow, because we want everybody inside. We're going to be doing stuff on the pitch before the game. Flags as well. And by the way, the flags, this is totally mank, isn't it? I love this. You can take your flag home with you, but can you bring it back on Saturday, please? Is going to be the message that we're sending out there. You're allowed to bring your flag with its stick back on Saturday.
That's amazing. I think it'll make a difference. I honestly don't think Pep has to get us up, because I think in general, most of our games don't really matter. You know, it sounds weird, but we go against like Cardiff at home. I mean, we know we're going to win it, and it's hard. No, they do matter technically, but I feel like there's always an element of inevitability. And when there's actually something to fight for, like the Liverpool game, for example, or the Hamburg game, or the Derby or whatever, or this game tomorrow, I feel like the atmosphere is... like, it's really riled up. Yeah. And I think we've become accustomed to success to the point where we just kind of like sit there and watch like the theatre at the show. It's almost become like that's how we approach watching Manchester City. And sometimes the Liverpool game, I mentioned it a few times, that wasn't a typical Manchester City game, because it was more about the fight and the energy and the passion. And it was more of a battle. Yeah. And I think we'll see a bit of that
like
tomorrow.
A battle.
Yeah, it's just...
I do like a good battle.
Friday battle.
Definitely. Right, Walter was touching on it there, but we didn't quite let him go off about the ticket prices, but we're going to give him a chance in a minute. So everybody get ready. Walter is going to go for the ticket prices, and then we're also going to be doing our now famous section. If I keep saying it, that it might get famous. Our now famous section, where you can ask us anything to do with City and we'll answer it in 30 seconds. We'll be back soon.
Manchester City Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show. Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising.
Good evening and welcome back to the Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising. I'm Natalie Pike and I'm in the studio with Stephen and Walter this evening. Good evening, gents, again.
Good evening.
So we've still got loads coming up in this section. We're soon going to be doing our famous 30-second answer game, where you can ask us anything to do with City. We've got to give you an answer in a short, sharp 30 seconds. So far this evening, we've already covered the Palace game and looking forward to the rest of the title run-in. We've already looked at the Spurs games as well. But I've been teasing you that Walter has desperately got something on his chest that he needs to get off. Right, Walter, what's your problem with the ticket prices?
Well, honestly, it's one of those things that just grates me. I was looking at Pep cry to the fans, you know, in his press conference to get behind the team. And I thought, hang on a minute, has he not spoke to someone in the background at Manchester City? Because last time we needed a massive atmosphere like this was Hamburg. What did they do? Slash the ticket prices, and it was oversubscribed. We could have doubled the ground, you know. And what annoys me is I look at Manchester City and I think to them, me personally, I think they could become a sort of pioneer and show the rest of the Premier League. It's become an almost like people's club, a Mancunian sort of working class roots club. And what they could do is build that stadium even bigger and just knock down the prices like they do in Germany. And that would bring in so many more fans. You know, I was talking before and someone said, well, if you put it up an extra £5-10 on the ticket, what happens is they get more money for that game. And I thought, that's so short-termism. You should be looking at dads, mums can bring their kids to games and make City fans for the future. So, you know, you lower all these prices, extend the ground out, probably to maybe about 100 bigger than Old Trafford. So we've got the biggest ground. And then you just fill it with cheap, cheap tickets. And if you do that, you've got generations of Manchester City fans to come, and you've got the long-term success, not just one game. I mean, there's an open goal here for Manchester City to be like a moral bastion within the Premier League. So, you know, they had the situation there, you know, last season where you went early, you could buy a pint cheaper.
And loads of, I went down to the concourse and the whole place was, but that's fine, you know. Dads were there having a pint, bringing the kids. Mums were there, you know, everybody there having a few beers, which was better for the atmosphere again. And if everybody's doing that and the club are buying, let's get this right, the club are buying into the fans and listening to the fans about what they need and their needs. Because Manchester City have got the same fan base pretty much in the Mancunian area they did 10, 15, 20 years ago. And we're expected now to fork out for Wembley numerous times. We've got all these Champions League away games, home games, and the tickets for the away games for the Champions League ain't cheap either. So you could set yourself up. We've got a massive PR goal here. I've put the ball on the spot. There's no goalkeeper there. We've got Manchester City Football Club just need to knock the ball in. You know, you offer cheap pies. You offer, we get people into the ground. In the Field of Dreams, build it and they will come. I don't like to see people priced out. I mean, I didn't go down to Wembley because, you know, it was my daughter's birthday. I wanted to spend time with her. And, you know, that's one reason. But there's so many City fans that couldn't go because they couldn't justify. You know, you turn around to your partner, you've been working, you've both been working, you've got the mortgages, you've got the kids to feed, you've got a school, you know, you've got a feed them, you've got to then put clothes on them, they're asking for X, Y, Z, and you know, you're working all the, you know, hours that God sends to try and provide for the family, and you've got this hobby, you know, and it might be a connection between you and your family that you all go, and people are slowly drifting away because they cannot afford, and I just find it really grates me when I see people on social media who've never, some people have never been to a game, and they're criticising City for these empty seats. Well, it's not a City problem. This is a football problem in this country. And if something that's going to band us together, it should be this, because we managed to get the away tickets down to £30, which nobody's complaining about now. Why not do that for home games as well?
Oh, I'm with you, because when you think about the FA Cup, I didn't go to the semi-final because it was a choice of where I was spending my money. Because although I present City Square, I have a season ticket. I buy my own season ticket. I've had my season ticket for 21 years. I pay for my own away tickets. I feel like a lot of the time there is journalists and there is people that have fan state, fan podcasts, fan YouTube channels that aren't paying for tickets. And I just feel like you can't, if you're not paying for your ticket, you don't really understand what it's like to find the money for a ticket. But sorry, I went off track there. But when you're talking about the FA Cup final, it's the FA that have done the pricing and we can slag the FA. But when you're talking about a game like tomorrow night, it's our own club that have priced them at £55.
I don't think they care, sadly. I think that's genuinely the truth. We're a club who essentially, I feel like financial fair play has caused a lot of this, because the margins for us to become profitable are so small that they can eke out an extra 2-3 million here and there. And that to the club is not very much, but that equates to 10-15 quid extra a ticket. And it makes such a difference for the fans, and makes very little difference to the club, you know, in general. It's such a short-term thing, but I feel like that's a direct result of that. And I think in general, City are so obsessed with being this massive global brand because that's where the money is, that they don't really look at their own doorstep anymore. And I honestly feel like the local fans are right down the bottom of the priority list. And it's a really sad state of affairs, but I feel like the game is going this way. And we've had this really weird and very necessary, I guess, in some ways, accelerated growth to become this big global club. And as ever, usually the people who were there before are the ones who get treated the worst. Yeah. And it always tends to happen in any form of life, in any walk of life. And it's frustrating because I agree, like, I'm going on my own to the game tomorrow night because I normally go with my girlfriend if she comes. She's like a City fan because I am, if that makes sense. She goes to games with me. Like, totally. She's not like a huge City fan, but she'll go to games. And I told her the ticket price. She's like, I can't afford 45, 50 quid. And by the time I looked to £50 minimum up to £70, and she's like, I can't afford that. So I'm going on my own tomorrow because simply no one I know can afford to go other than myself, you know, that I go with normally. And it doesn't need to be that way.
Does it not annoy you, though, that City could just get one sponsorship deal? They could have something on the side of the shirt, something, it doesn't matter what it is, one sponsorship deal could easily negate all these sort of price rises. And, you know, it is the long-term future of the club. And if you know, if you're looking so short-term all the time, I know we do that on the pitch as football fans, but you expect your club owners to have a better grasp on reality.
Yeah, I have to say though, I have to stick up for the club, obviously, to a degree in terms of how much they do for fans, in terms of City Square, obviously, that I present, in terms of they do a free family fun day before every game, which is incredible. If you've got kids and you've never been there, you need to get yourself down to the CFA.
That's good, but for myself, one of those things where I do understand.
Hey, I'm with you. I pay for my tickets. I'm totally with you, especially when I've seen on Saturday, it's sold out, but it's £70 a ticket.
We'd all have £20 tickets cheaper if we get rid of the fun day. I think we'd all agree with that, in general.
But. Oh, I don't know, because is that short-termism? Because it breeds the kids, the fun days for the kids, and it breeds the kids.
I would say, in general, though, kids would rather go to games, personally. But both, they can afford it.
They can afford it, but you get that extra sponsorship deal in. And if you think about, if you've got a lot of kids, they're your future, who are going to be going to the games, who are going to make sure that your sponsors are still coming in years to come.
Right. A quick go of the 30-second answer game, and we are going to have a buzzer here to stop it. So I have a couple of questions here, and we're going to smash through these. So the first one, if you had to choose, City win tomorrow and go through in the Champions League, or City win on Saturday and win the Premier League, go.
Premier League, definitely. Because
Premier League.
It's where the bread and butter is. And can anyone honestly imagine watching Liverpool celebrate that? I want to win the Premier League because I honestly believe that the Champions League is only worth anything if you win the domestic league as well. I 100% believe that. I think it's the cherry on the top, and it validates your success. Otherwise, you're not even the best team in your country.
So what about City win tomorrow or City win Saturday? No guarantee of winning the league.
I would say win tomorrow. Because
win tomorrow.
That means we're in a competition still, and we still could win the league.
Ooh, good one. Okay, right, next one. Do you think Gundogan will go... Oh, sorry, I should say who they're from. That's awful. It's from Samantha. Do you think Gundogan will go in the summer if he doesn't sign a new deal?
I think he's going to go just because it makes business sense. Gundogan has been a fantastic asset, and what I love about him is this idea of he's a no-nonsense player. You don't hear anything about him off the pitch, but he's quite prepared to sit and he's run down his contract, but also be a squad player rather than a team player, but also... great when he comes on, but we're going to have to replace him. It's going to be hard to do, but you can't let him go for nothing.
Yeah, I think he's going to go in the summer. I do.
I don't want him to, but I think he will do, because we have to replace him. Then I'm stopped there. You'll never know what I was going to say, but it was incredible. It's going to blow your mind. I've got a question here for you.
Okay.
This is from Joe Forshaw on Twitter. He said, why do we feel we're hard done by with ticket prices, and why do we use the excuse that we're working class often? Isn't this the same for most clubs? Is it not just that we don't have this massive tourist fan base that most people do?
Yeah, we don't have a massive fan base. You know, we're very much still a Manchester, Greater Manchester, North West club. You know, I spend a lot of time down in Devon and Cornwall, and it's full of Liverpool and United fans. So there's no competition. Maybe in 20 years' time, come back, we'll be bigger.
But... and also, we're playing in four competitions. The point of this is that we've been to Wembley four or five times this season. We're playing in more competitions than everybody else. That's why it costs us more money, not because our fans are more working class than somebody else's.
I would also say we are more working class because we don't have the overseas fans yet playing. So I think it's kind of answered his own question there, really.
Yeah. Okay, right. This one's specifically for Walter. Why was Walter wearing a dress for our 2-0 win against Newcastle on the Sky Sports Fan Zone in 2012?
What's that about?
I can't deny it. What happened was me and the Geordie were both wearing long dresses. We bought them at Tesco.
Why have I never seen this? I've known you for like years.
I know, right?
And it was strange, liberating, wearing it underneath our tops. And we said, if one of our teams score, we will whip off and we'll have this dress.
How? Why?
Just for the lols. And fortunately... City won 2-0. First goal, top whipped off, and I was there in the dress.
This one's from Stephen McInerney on Twitter. I heard he's a wonderful guy. Very handsome too, apparently.
Very handsome.
One more. This is the last question. Who deserves Manchester City's player of the season and why?
Oh, no! Either Bernardo Silva or Raheem Sterling, but please don't make me pick one or the other.
You've got to choose one.
I would go for Raheem Sterling because of the complete development of him on and off the pitch, and I do look off the pitch as well, and he is an absolute role model, what he's done off the pitch. He'll have done more for racism than the government have done, and I think in terms of what he's done on the pitch, he's developed so much. His goals have been so important. I feel like he's not had a bad game all season.
100% agreed.
I think I'll agree with that as well, really. I think it's important, isn't it? So I think we're about to wrap up. We've got like 30 seconds left. Quickly, guys, prediction for tomorrow's result.
3-1 City.
3-1? That's good.
I've got to go for 6-1 City.
6-1 City.
I like that score.
Walters, he's still got his head in that dress motor. You've gone crazy, basically, Walter. That's an absolutely mad prediction. Anyway, guys, thank you for listening in. Fingers crossed Manchester City can get the victory tomorrow. I'm really, really nervous. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the podcast if you're listening, Manchester Football Social.
Manchester City Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show.
Well, thank you for downloading the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. We'll see you next week, Blues. It was indeed.
And hopefully we'll be dead happy.
Oh, we should be happy.
To be honest, it's a big week, isn't it? It's going to be a telling week because this time, well, in 8-9 days, we're going to know pretty much how the season's going to pan out.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about the derby.
Essentially, people should subscribe to the podcast because then they'll see our reactions or our tears or our gleeful joy in us in a week from now. Right, nice. Anyway, in a bit.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.